Good morning. Can everybody hear me? I'll try and keep everything at a constant level. Had a little flu issue this week, and so things been a little up and down. Try not to cough too much. But we must have hit rock bottom if I'm up here talking. Keeping with the theme of everybody else, my name is Scott Cochran. I am not the pastor here, and I am a broken soul repaired by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I'm here. Call went out. Sometimes you got to answer the uncomfortable calls. So that's why I volunteered to come up. I'm not a public speaker. I don't do this very often. So be patient with me. If I cough, I apologize, but it's been an interesting week, but don't feel too bad for me. Susan had it a little bit worse, and I'm not a good patient, and she's had to put up with me, and she was right. I should have went to the doctor, which I'll go tomorrow, but let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, take me out of the way. Father, make these words ring true. Father, all the glory goes to you. Father, carry me on your gracious wings that we can get through this and someone's life will be touched, that they'll go out and be the hands and feet and win souls for Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think we got it up there. Terms and conditions. Everybody pretty familiar with terms and conditions, especially in the modern technological age. Every time you get a little something on your phone, you get terms and conditions before you can use it. How many just flip through that terms and conditions and don't read it? I do it. We want to just click that box and get on through there. But there's things that could happen. There's ramification. You may not get the product if you don't. You may give away some of your personal information if you do. So where do you go? Well, God has terms and conditions also. If you kind of went to a church service and you checked the box and said okay to Jesus, but didn't really analyze what you were doing, there can be conditions later on. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. And it's kind of a strange subject because I knew for a while I was going to be doing a talk. And, of course, you always want to do a talk that everybody smiles and laughs and jokes around about. But for whatever reason, the Lord put on my heart to talk about hell. That's not very uplifting, is it? Hell is kind of an interesting concept. You can, and I'll leave it to the secondary trained people to get into the in-depth whether hell is actually a reality, a place. In my mind, it is a place, and it's all negative. So I think as Christians, those who have accepted Christ, we ought to talk a little bit about hell. I can't remember the last time a pastor talked about hell, so it must be a worse subject than tithing. I mean, it helped me out. I can't remember it. So why, I don't know. But he led me to talk about this subject. And I hope that if you are offended, you look at yourself. If you're not offended, you look at yourself. If you aren't a Christian, consider reading the terms and conditions and checking the box. If you are a Christian, that doesn't relieve you of the impacts of hell. And I hope that that's illustrated today. And since I don't know your station in eternity, I want to see all of you there. Because I can assure you, when you accept Christ, you cannot be torn away from His hands. Because as I go through this construction and process of life, I still make mistakes. I still have lots of errors and lots of things to repair. But I don't have to worry about hell. But here's the funny thing about it. I'm still scared of hell. Why? It can't impact me. I'm relieved from it. Think about that for a little while. Think about that for a little while. We always look at hell as a concept of the damned who don't accept Christ. Hell should just, it should be just as real in the Christian's life as it is, actually more so, than the lost. Because the lost have no concept of hell. What does it matter? They don't believe in God, so how can they believe in hell? Let's take a little read of what everybody, I believe, from all age groups, had the Encyclopedia Britannica in their homes at one time or another. It's an interesting read on their thoughts about hell. Excuse me a second. Hell, in many religious traditions, the abode, usually beneath the earth, of the unredeemed dead or the spirits of the damned. In this archaic sense, the term hell refers to the underworld, a deep pit, a distant land of shadows, where the dead are gathered. From the underworld come dreams, ghosts, demons, and in most terrible precincts, sinners pay an eternal price for their crimes. The underworld is often imagined as a place of punishment rather than merely of darkness and decomposition, because of the widespread belief that a moral universe requires judgment and retribution. Crime must not pay. More broadly, hell figures in religious cosmologies as the opposite of heaven, the nadir of the cosmos and the land where God is not. In world literature, the journey to hell is a motif of hero legends, quest stories, and hell itself is a permanent symbol of evil, alienation, and despair. That sounds like a play. I mean, I could write a screenplay from that definition of hell. It doesn't seem real. So if you're studying the Encyclopedia Britannica, the writer just doesn't seem like their heart's into it. Like there's no ramification. There's no judgment. It's just a story. Doing the research, theologians have argued in the Hebrew Bible that hell isn't even a real place. There's one word that is translated, and I can't say it. I'll let Ryan say it someday, that is perceived to be the reference to hell. Other than that, hell is not referenced anywhere in the Hebrew Bible. Kind of odd. Be happy to sit down with you. There's a lot of different verses we can go over. But the Bible illustrates hell not as the word, but as a place. So can there be an unnamed place? Why can't there be? This was an unnamed place till God made it. The Bible talks about hell in this way. Context is important in the Bible also. I'm reading one verse in a series of verses. So please go back, read before and after. But the point of this, I hope, will ring clear. Then he will say, Matthew 25:41. Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Revelations 20:13-14. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Matthew 13:42. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Anybody picking up on a theme there? Mark 9:43. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter eternal life maimed than with two hands to go to hell, where the fire never goes out. To me, there's a theme there. It's an unpleasant place, and you can go on and on about worms, and you can go on and on about fire and decomposition and any number of things of torment. You know what? Those really don't matter. Because the lost don't believe in any of it. Hell is a concept developed, I believe, from my opinion, so that God can get us moving. To be the hands and feet as Christian believers, those who have committed their imperfect lives to the service of Christ. I'm sure there's many other components to what he intended, but I don't have the capacity to know those. This is through prayer and in study what he has revealed to me. Here's the worst verse to me in the discussion of hell. Second Theologians, chapter 1, verse 9. They will be punished with everlasting destruction, shut out from the presence of the Lord, from the glory of His majesty, might, depending on what translation you have. Is there any mention of fire in there? Worms? Unpleasant? I mean, think about the worst torture you can imagine. That's the scariest one of all, if you're a Christian. Shut out from the presence. Cut out from the presence of the Lord. Can you make a list up in here today of those that you want to be left out of the presence of the Lord? That's why it's scary for the Christian. That's why I fear hell. I don't want anybody to go without the presence of the Lord. I know what He means to me. I know what He's done for me. If you can make a list out of folks that you would like to not be there, I'm kind of worried about you. Be happy to talk with you. That's why it lays the fear in my heart. I don't have to worry about any of the rest of the stuff. But I got to think about hell. From that concept, if you're not out being the hands and feet, and I have never said be perfect, have you really accepted Christ? Be bold. not over the top. I'm not telling anybody to run and hit somebody with a Bible and tell them you're going to hell. Stand your ground. Someone challenges you, don't let your lack of knowledge about the Bible maybe discourage you from revealing God's love. Because that may be the moment in time when that person is looking for a seed to be planted. God's using you to be that vessel so that they're not shut out of the presence of the Lord. That's a mighty tall task. And you've got to be willing. I've taken every medication in my cabinet. So I thought I'd get through this. Not talking, even low, is what tickles the old voice box. In that moment, we've talked about in our Sunday school class about Billy Graham. But who spoke to Billy Graham? You may be the next person to speak to that unknown, and that may be your entire life's mission. Don't get impatient. If you're asked to go on a mission trip, pray about it. If you're asked to go into ministry, pray about it. Because you may be on the other side of the world or down Butler's Alley, being the living presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. And for 5 minutes of interaction, if that worry of hell does not come into your mind, will you be motivated? Well, I just can't public speak, or I get nervous, right? No, bull. I'm nervous. I don't do this. I can't be there. The interim pastor can't be there. The next pastor can't be there. 35 years from now, whoever the pastor is, they can't be there. We are the church. We are to be out planting seeds. Then don't dwell on it. If God wants you to go back, He'll send you back. He'll motivate you. Because that fear of separation will keep you motivated. But He'll water that seed. Don't try and be God either. But fear the ramifications of hell for anybody. I hope this little talk didn't ramble and it was fairly clear. I'm not trying to scare anybody into Jesus' arms, but if that works, okay. There's a hell. If you don't know Jesus, run on down here. We'll take care of it. We'll check that box on the terms and conditions, and we'll work with you. We have a gentleman. He's not here today, but he's in a wheelchair. And like I told him, I don't know anything about his situation. I'm not medically trained. But we'll minister to him. And I told him, you tell me how to minister to you. If you don't know Christ and you want to learn more, you tell me how I can minister to you, and I will. I haven't been asked to go on a mission trip by the Lord. I haven't been asked to preach very often. And now you can tell why. He'll answer the call. Any place, anytime. If you need me, I'll be there. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we can come together, Father, to know that you have prepared a place for us as Christians. It's majesty, it's glory. It's but a small part of you, Father. You are the reason for every decision we make, for every place we go. Father, I ask that you put the fear of separation from you first and foremost in our hearts, that we don't wish for anyone to go to a place called hell, Hades. Father, because the fire doesn't matter, the worms don't matter, the decomposition doesn't matter. It is the separation from you and your majesty that matters. Father, use me in whichever way you wish. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.